just watch out from that person. You know, is someone who bend the truth to serve his own political interest.
Mansoor, we're going to do a second part of this interview and post it at democracynow.org. You just wrote a comment is free op-ed piece in The Guardian about a Biden administration decision around the artwork of the Guantanamo prisoners. And we're going to talk about that and also show more of your images that you drew while in Guantanamo. Yes, Mansoor Daifi is a former Guantanamo prisoner, detainee 441, imprisoned without charge for 14 years and 7 months before being released in 2016 to Serbia. We spoke to him in Belgrade. His memoir is titled Don't Forget Us Here, Lost and Found at Guantanamo. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for a digital fellow. Go to democracynow.org for more information. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. Masks and proof of vaccination are required at this time. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Rise them up, KBOO 90.7. You don't know it's your girl, Tasha T.
You are listening to More Talk Radio and some dishes, I think, that just dropped somewhere. This is more.
No, that was just the spoon stirring my morning brew so I could be awake.
Okay. Okay. So for all of you who might be getting stirred to get awake, you are listening to More Talk Radio here on community radio station KBOO 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it's kboo.fm, and we are broadcasting on this day, the third day in March and April 2023. I'm Cecil. I'm here with Celeste. We are your hosts for this morning, and we thank you for joining us. Let me share with you our phone number, so give us a call in once the program begins. That's 503-231-8187. I think those are all the formal things we have to say. Anything else? What did I leave out, Celeste?
Well, you know, I was listening, but if you ask me to repeat anything but the last part you said, I'm lost.
Okay.
I guess I wasn't so awake after all, huh?
Another sip of that coffee will help.
So, well, you know, this whole play on being awake, et cetera, leads us right into the show, perfect segue. You've probably heard this phrase many times, and we'll talk a little bit about its origin and what it used to mean and what people think it means now, and then explore whether it's time to do a change-up. it's time to do a change up. And see if we can come to some understanding of how to express the idea of being aware of the barriers, challenges, injustices, et cetera, in life, being able to address them, name them and address them without kind of falling into this confused mire and knee-jerk reaction that we're experiencing now. And so I guess you're wondering, what am I talking about? Well, it's the phrase woke. Okay. And woke was originally a term used a lot in the Black community, especially in activist circles. And it meant that you were alert to racial issues like prejudice, discrimination, institutional racism, and what have you. But it also had a less formalized kind of connotation, and that was that it meant just really looking at the position that we as Black people in a very specific sense and people of color in a general sense about how there were a lot of forces at play that made life very difficult for us, and societal issues and challenges that we also had to teach our children to look out for. And I've said before in public venues and have said it here on More Talk Radio that teaching your child as a person of color, teaching your child about racism and institutionalized racism and prejudice and bigotry was kind of like having to tell your child that there is a predator in your family and that you are very sorry you're not able to protect them, your child that is, from this predator, and that you've been a victim of the predator yourself, which is why you're not well sometimes yourself. And that having to live with this unwholesome and evil specter in your life. And so trying to pass that knowledge on so that you and members in your community that look like you, i.e. being Black, were able to be aware of and navigate this whole concept of danger. You want to add anything to that, Cecil?
No. So this whole discussion around the concept of woke is also a question about conversation about how terms and attitudes can be captured, used, altered by dominant culture and be used in a way that is the reversal of the intention of the original use of the word. So it certainly has been captured by the political right wing as a catch-all phrase to cover any and all things that is counter to white Christian nationalism. So everything goes under the concept of woke, everything from President Biden's environmental policies to policies in municipalities around policing, anything which is counter to the conservative mainstream is captured under the term woke, which gives those who are attacking it permission, I think, to ignore and try to sweep the intent, the real issues under the carpet.
Well, you know, and it's not just what the opponents of as you have described them, it's not just their definition. Sometimes allies and so-called allies also get it wrong and end up making a caricature effort. I'm thinking of the time when we had a bunch of people in Congress kneeling and putting on kente cloth, you know, and not being real clear on the concept. And so that also is an aspect of it. And it has probably opened it. It was probably one of the things that opened being woke up to some measure of ridicule. And for a long time, being woke was, it was a positive thing. It's what led to the Green Book, for example. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Green Book, it was a book published by members of the Black community to help other Black folks travel this country safely and know where they could stop and where they couldn't stop for food and personal needs and to rest and to make purchase when they were traveling throughout the country, sometimes traveling in the city. You could would know how to avoid sunbound areas. So anyway, that's woke as it is roots, pun intended. But now woke, as Cecil pointed out, has kind of drifted in its meaning. It's got some definition creep. And it's changed. And so I thought what we'd do today is just kind of talk a little bit about what woke is, what it's kind of, I'm going to say, mutated into, not transmuted or just changed, but actually mutated into. Has it gone too far? And, you know, how to recenter ourselves in the positive aspect of being aware of what something is, an environment is, and how to communicate that. So you can join us at 503-231-8187 for conversation and discussion.
I think one thing that is interesting about this is that it is something that continues throughout our society. So in this era right now, we're speaking of the word woke, but it has also been captured by pundits, by popular language, other terms throughout the year. So anyone who could be accused of being a sympathizer, someone might have been used as a term as a liberal or an integrationist or as a advocate for any number of issues that have been used, corrupted, been altered by interpretation or understanding. And so what do you do when a term or a phrase or something that you value has been captured and altered by others? It can be as critical as a discussion on CRT, but it can also be referred to how a values of a particular cultures are captured, used, altered, and then the question is, or even as young people, those who have raised kids, we all know that look when our kids look at us when we try to be relevant, using their terms or listen to certain type of music, it's sort of like, okay, when the parents get to start using it, that's when it is time to drop it. So in this way, I think the term woke has been so altered by opponents of progressivism and racial equity, that perhaps can let them use that and continue to do what we think are important, and that continue to push the envelope a little bit more and to challenge society mainstreams. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. We will take your calls, and in a couple of minutes we'll go to the person who's on the line right now, I believe. And let's go to Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, and thank you for this. I'm enjoying it. And you reminded me of something that was, in my experience, 60 years old when I'm a white person, and a black friend of mine explained to me that the word uptight was a good thing originally, and that it became a problem. You know, like James Brown, uptight, out of sight. There was a lot of examples of how it was a good thing, and that you know, it had morphed, it had changed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm enjoying this. I myself have studied linguistics and the English language, so I really appreciate this show. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's interesting how he mentioned the terms of how terms are used, adapted, and altered. And perhaps you may call in and share us some other examples of this in terms of language and how do we use it and challenge it. So one of the things I think is when I hear the term anti being anti woke, I just cringe because it for me it means an attempt, a refusal to try to understand, to live, to accept those who all offered something that challenged my framework. And well, no, go ahead, Celeste.
No. I jumped too soon. I was going to tell a caller, with all due respect, that Everything Is All Right Uptight was not James Brown. That was Stevie Wonder. And I'm not poking fun at you.
No.
You know, I'm kind of chuckling because, you know, that's part of the challenge is getting everything ascribed properly, you know, which is what we're talking about with woke.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
There is an author and a professor. He's also a linguist. And so in this November 6, 2020, one article that came out of NPR OPB, John McWhorter argues against what he called the religion of anti-racism, you know, with what you were saying. And he says he had a problem with the whole thing as a black liberal. He says that the cultural left, along with a lot of mainstream institutional companies, had gone too far in embracing anti-racist ideas. And that is the kind of argument that was offered against Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility and Tim Wise, who also campaigned and speaks out against racism, and so you bring up a valid point, that's the word I was looking for, in describing this whole concept of anti-racism. But it was both a legitimate position to take, and it's been also turned into a pejorative. Because, like you were saying, Cecil, being called anti-woke can be a good thing if you don't embrace a a multifaceted, multilingual, multiracial, multiethnic community, but also being woke could be a bad thing if you go on too far.
Well, and that's a subject of conversation, and I think we understand that throughout our society, again, I'm re-emphasizing the point I made earlier in terms of how society has looked and viewed those who are of left of center, and that it has continued to be attacked, whether it is from McCarthyisms of the 1950s, whether it's the Reagan neocons in the 1980s, whether it is the MAGA crowd in the third decade of the 21st century, there's a line of opposition to those who would push to challenge the political mainstream, and it is very easy for those to begin to name call, to ridicule, to try to delegitimize those who are, you know, communist sympathizer or those who are or race traitors, or, you know, you can fill in the word throughout the that have been used throughout our history, the United States history, in terms of raising opposition to progressive social and political change. And also, I think I would also say that certainly in recent months, years, there has been a use by those who I would identify as cisgender men who feel somehow offended when they are challenged or critiqued by those who would challenge their the centering of cisgender male perspective at all times. So you hear this type of things from people, comedians, social commentators. There's been a couple of comedian social commentators who we've mentioned here on this program who have felt it necessary to say that they are opposed to this type of social critique of centering of male voices. And so certainly all of a sudden they feel threatened or as if they no longer have freedom of speech. And my perspective is, well, we all have an obligation to treat and honor people from where they're coming from. And so I in short terms, a lot of what I've heard in recent weeks is this anti-trans language, and saying that we're opposing this woke ideology because I want to call someone what I want to call them regardless of how they identify. Okay, my sermon is ended, and I'll pass the collection plates.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, and Philomath, Oregon, in the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and on the web, kboo.fm. So, I need to backtrack here and address a comment that you got here. Regarding whether John McWhorter is a liberal or a conservative, well, I kind of chuckle because NPR OPB said he was a black liberal in the article, and it's the article, let me get it back here, where they interviewed him and regarding the fact that being woke or anti-racism is a religion, and the book he wrote called Woke Racism. So they claim that he is a liberal. But if you do some other work, which is interesting because it kind of goes to the same thing we were talking about, even though he won't identify or doesn't identify as conservative, he works with conservative think tanks and a lot of other organizations, as he is also a teacher and holds a degree, teaches linguistics, and et cetera, et cetera. Conservative think tanks.
Yeah, I appreciate his writings, and I think he's a Princeton grad, is a linguist. I think he teaches at Columbia, but he is often featured in the New York Times as sort of, yeah. And this is my opinion, is sort of like a counter to other black columnists such as Charles Blue or Jamel Bowie, and you can fill in the language, alternative viewpoint, black viewpoint. So he's a great writer. I just have, some differences of opinion. Occasionally, which I think it's great and encouraging. You don't
agree
with people all the time. So, don't want to ignore him or his critique. And I would put it different than a lot of the mass popular critique of how we began our conversation of this anti-woke phenomena. So he will offer more nuanced review of this conversation, which is not always seen or understood or given space to expand in a lot of popular conversations. So, John McWhorter.
Well, you're welcome to join the conversation. Our phone number is 503-231-8187. And if you're thinking about it, give yourself plenty of time to get your point out and don't wait until 8:55, because we want to hear what you have to say. So while we're talking about how woke started and what it originally was supposed to convey, and how things change and get hijacked and inverted deliberately too, I guess the question would be, at this particular junction, and you think of woke, I mean, you can say it was the word of the year in 2020 for sure, especially after the George Floyd murder. And so here we are in 2023, and it brings to mind a comic I saw some years ago that I'll paraphrase, where you've got two young white businessmen with their briefcase and their suits on, and one was saying something to the effect of how something had been dissed, and the other one says, "Oh, that's whack." And then you see this thought bubble popping up from this young black boy's head, and he says, "Uh-oh, time to change up."
Exactly. Do you remember that time, maybe 10 years ago, when us older folks were just trying to understand this technology, and all of a sudden we said, "Ooh, look at this social media thing called Facebook. Let's get on it." And
TikTok.
And within I want to say days, but certainly within weeks, the demographics of Facebook change as thousands of people younger than the age of 25 shifted their allegiance to other social apps. So
I know Facebook is for all the old fogies and businesses.
Right.
You know, that's what blew me away. It's like, I mean, I'm sure that was a potential goal of the people who created Facebook in the first place, you know. But you look at it now, and it's like,
Well, you know,
it's the dominion of the calcified.
Well, and, you know, we all know the history of the development of Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
And Mark, you know, they were just college students, you know, smoking a bomb or whatever, you know, and creating...
Smoking a bomb.
You know, creating, you know, social media. And, you know, Mark is now the, you know, middle-aged man, and, you know...
He's part of the calcified group.
And certainly, I heard something on NPR, I believe, this weekend. We're talking about how his great plans for the meta universe is sinking. but let's see who has some thoughts for us this morning. And let's hear from Robbie. Good morning, Robbie. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
I'm doing great. Yeah, good morning to you, Celeste and Cecil. I wanted to bring up some of the woke stuff because, I mean, the definition and just the word itself has seemed to change drastically. If you were to have, I mean, even from, like, the Democrats' perspective of it, they've kind of, I want to say they've changed. Everybody just kind of took it, meaning that, you know, being woke was being cognizant or aware of stuff and, you know, however, if you were to have used that word woke 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it was actually more or less tied directly to conspiracies, not like the right-wing QAnon stuff. But when you were called woke over 10 years ago, it was because you were aware the government was, you know, manufacturing crises in order to, you know, control the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also directly tied to what they called woke rap. Or political hip hop. There was a term woke rap. People like Immortal Technique and even Tupac were considered woke rap because of what they talked about. And so that meaning has changed drastically now to where it's hit the mainstream and people are like, I don't know, it's and now it's created the anti-woke thing, and it's just, to me, it's all just so convoluted now. It doesn't really have its original meaning, and it can be kind of conflated to anything that people want to consider being cognizant to. You know what I mean? Kind of just lost its very definition. It used to be much more specific. When you called somebody woke, you kind of were inferring that they were aware of the atrocities that our government's committing, and now it's kind of taken on more of a thing with strictly gender and race, which I don't really think it didn't have that meaning, you know, 15 years ago. Not that it's bad, it's just, but now you see all the counter thing to the anti-woke stuff, and it's just kind of another thing that I think they're using to divide and just divide us all up and have us arguing amongst ourselves as the government gets away with it. But I did want to bring up Facebook. Actually, I think I've brought this up to you before. There's really a direct correlation with the Department of Defense and what is known as NQTEL, which is a CIA-backed investment firm for technologies. The life log is what the Department of Defense pulled the plug on the same exact day Facebook was founded. And so, and then we see what's happening with TikTok right now, and they're passing this very broad stuff to control everything that they can on there. So I just wanted to bring that point up, that woke was extremely different even 10 years ago. I don't think it would have the same neoliberal aspects that it does
well,
as it did back then.
It is different, but the phrase stay woke has its history in black vernacular back in the 1930s. So I
well,
kind of challenge some aspects of what you're
song,
saying.
Because of the song that you were, it was a song that was written, right?
No. That's what I'm saying.
Tom Hartman had brought up that there was a song from the 30s and that it was specifically about how there were some black lynchings and you got to stay woke. And so, like, yeah,
oh,
there is
okay,
that.
You might be talking about the Leadbelly song, then.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. The Lead Belly. It was Lead Belly. Uh-huh. Yeah. But that was in the same era. But I mean, if you look at it, there really wasn't contextually used throughout, you know, the 60s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't
until the late 90s that it wasn't contextually used, I challenge that again, because again, in black communities, it was. So when you said what do you mean?
I mean, maybe that's just something that I'm ignorant to. I haven't really heard them use it. But when I did, it was specifically for people who were, you know, conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
So, 9/11.
Not at all.
I think I'm hearing from both of you is the sense that the term woke origins are in black culture, and as Rob Celeste gave us a little historical in terms of its development from the 1920s and 1930s, and Rob, you gave us an instance of how it was used, received, accepted, and propagated in the 1990s as a genre or subgenre of hip-hop culture, which is another example of how cultural appropriation takes place and the misunderstanding or the misuse of cultural language, cultural habits, and how it is altered in throughout time. So I think it's been really helpful to hear the origins of that term in black culture, and also how it manifested itself in popular hip hop cultures in the 90s.
If I could say one last thing, and I'll take my answer off, but the idea that being woke was a conspiracy, and it's not the word theory. It is a conspiracy that white supremacy is dominating our entire society.
That's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is an idea or a discussion that involves people, but you don't involve them. The fact that white supremacist culture exists and is dominating key parts of our existence is a fact.
Facts are conspiracy.
No, facts are not necessarily conspiracies. That's like saying chairs are all there is to furniture.
Conspiracies can be facts. It's the part that's a theory that
makes it not
a fact.
They can be facts, right. But a conspiracy is when a fact is not a conspiracy.
Hang on. A conspiracy is when two or more people conspire to deceive another group of people. That's all it takes for a conspiracy.
Right, and it doesn't involve their being a part of that plan either.
What my point is that this entire society has conspired against black and brown Americans, and not even Americans, just against. So how is it wrong to say that that's a conspiracy?
Well, I think what we have here is a failure to communicate. But I think my understanding, from what I'm hearing right now, you two are opposing one another. It's just different ways of talking.
This is a big problem, because people don't even know what conspiracy means anymore. They automatically assume conspiracy means it's not real.
But
a conspiracy is when there are two or more people conspiring against another group to deceive them.
I'm
not debating that.
So I don't understand why it's far-fetched to say that, first of all, conspiracies aren't real, which is kind of what you were inferring.
Nobody said that.
Well, I mean, when I said conspiracies are real, or when I said that conspiracies
are
real,
you said
this is kind of going back to the whole thing with the rappers.
I'm not going to get lost in this. Thanks. There you go.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO-FM. And this morning we're talking about what does it mean to be woke. I'm not even sure in terms of how to have the use of language. I am reminded...
What is woke?
I am reminded, however, of, when Rob was sharing about the hip-hop culture in the 90s and the use of it, I am reminded, going back a little bit earlier, on Lawrence Fishburne in the movie School Days by Spike Lee.
Uh-huh.
And that phrase he used over and over, because
wake up.
So everything's related.
You know, in terms of music, you find that phrase being woke used. I mean, what is it? Georgia Ann Muldrew, mm-hmm, had it in her song. I think it's called Master Teacher.
Yes.
Lead Belly had it in a song, which was, if I'm not mistaken, the Scottsboro Brothers, mm-hmm, or the Scottsboro Boys. Is it
Boys.
Scottsboro Boys?
Boys.
I think. Yeah. And so, you know, back in the 30s, back in the 90s, which is when School Days came out, it's been around, like I said, in the Black community, in the Black lexicon, for almost 100 years. And, you know, and I kind of want to challenge that it has its exclusive domain or origin in the conspiracy theorist camp, because it didn't. And it doesn't. And I guess that's part of the challenge, you know, because we're sitting up discussing this, and it's being centered in a culture that didn't create it. And once again, it's almost as if a vitality in the concept of being woke and aware is being siphoned off and inverted so that it's not useful for becoming awake. You know, it's been undermined so that you don't get a chance to appreciate what the lesson is that it's trying to provide for you. What was I going to say? I kind of lost my train of thought there.
Wake up.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, you were talking about. You'll even find this whole concept of wake up. Now, I'm not saying nobody's ever said wake up, because everybody has said wake up. All populations of human beings had at one time or another told somebody, wake up and smell the coffee, you know. Mm. But I'm more specifically talking about, you know, a la Lead Belly in the song, and I just looked it up to be sure I said it right. Yes, it is the Scottsboro Boys. You know, and the song, the phrase was "Stay woke," and this is a song that talks about young Black men being accused of sexual assault on white women in Alabama. And so, you know, that's I guess part of our discussion is like, maybe it's time to change up again, because the whole idea is not that language becomes invalid, but you have to look at, well, I guess I am saying it becomes invalid. You have to look at how helpful a phrase becomes, or a word is, or a concept is, if it no longer helps connect people.
Yes. Right. And I guess, you know, language change over time, and
mm-hmm,
and things and alter, and there's a time where you have to lay it down and move on. So, you know,
yeah, so that we don't become uptight.
Yeah. while the governor of Florida is proudly starting his campaign by as the anti-woke candidate, you know, I can see, you know, young people just not only, they're not even rolling their eyes. It's sort of like this person isn't even on in their landscape. It's sort of like, you know, you can go and do this stupid thing. We're someplace else. And just as cultures continue to evolve, while we are, you know, pursuing this anti-woke thing, culture, language is changing, and there at another place now. So I think the real issue is not the words we use, but the policies that we advocate for and the type of society we build for. So whether one is affirming all people and having the ability to be who they are called to be, or whether one feels it is important to legislate and limit speech to only people who talk, act, think like I am, becomes a constant problem, issue. But language and culture change over time, and, you know, 30 years from now, those in the midst of youth culture now will be middle-aged folks and talking about, oh my gosh, these young people don't understand.
And then you become a member of the calcified crew.
That's
well,
right.
You know, you could fight that. You know, I use that term. I went, when I was going to University of Missouri, I went to school for journalism there years ago. Timothy Leary came to speak, and I went to hear him speak because I was fascinated by everything that you know, he was talking about at the time, and he was actually campaigning on to let people know about this new pharmaceutical. I'm not going to get into all that because I'd be skirting some FCC rules. But one of the things he said is, which it kind of struck an interesting note in me. He says, "Don't become adult." He says, because the adult stage of any species is terminal and is calcified and you can't change. Well, you know, at the time that seemed like a good idea. He said, you know, because he said, stay young and youthful and go make raids on, you know, guerrilla raids on adulthood. And by that he meant go get the awards and the accolades for doing the thing that kept you energized and aware and agile, but don't get calcified. Now, one of the things you learn though in nature, and especially I learned when I was going to nursing school, is that only new growth brings fruit, but only old trees, mature trees, bring forth the new growth that will grow fruit. So you have to mature, you know. It's just in how you do it. And I guess that would be the energy we would want to bring to this whole concept if we're doing a change up of what woke is, you know. And make it so that even if it does get fixed in a particular political ideology or concept, or it gets inverted so that, you know, you know being woke becomes a bad thing. What you want to remember is that it's about being aware, and it's about recognizing, and it's about finding ways to communicate a need for change and growth. And It's going to have a point where you're going to have to make that kind of consciousness leap into a new state. So everything changes. I guess I'm just saying everything changes. It's changed, but make that energy that being woke was about be a positive thing. And even if you change the words you use to describe it, you know, keep that positive energy.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're not Harold Melvin. We're not even John Legend, but we hope everyone wakes up. And let's go to Ross, and then we'll have another caller right after Ross.
Man, Joe.
Good morning, Ross.
Yes,
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, my friends. Yeah, I I just want to add something, and I'll take it off air because I can't hear well on this phone. The thing that hasn't really come out in this discussion is the most salient in its current use by the right, you might say, DeSantis and so forth. And I think it's a rather brilliant ploy on their part. In one fell swoop, they've captured something that middle political America and the right have they catch it right away, and which is woke is ridiculous, woke is silly, and and without any engaging in any political discussion hardly at all, they paint with one stroke a huge swath of ideological turmoil and agitation that's going on today, that all together, when wrapped together, and maybe it's wrapped together because we've already wrapped it together in the whole notion of intersectionality, it's bewildering, and also to the extent of looking kind of silly to middle America. They say, oh, you got to watch your pronouns, people are dressed different, they go women faster, and suddenly it's totally confusing. And yet the people seem so virtuous and very strong, with very strong feelings on all sides, and they simply step back and say, "Oh, this is silly." Mm-hmm. Instead of saying this is silly, they say this is woke. We'll forget this. Woke is so. Anyway, that's my take on woke. It's now painted everybody as a new kind of reverse deplorables. But anyway, take it for what I offer it. That's just my sense of it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Have a good day.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, thank you, Ross. I think it's helpful in terms of what you said, in terms of how it had been used and as this great swath, easy just to cover up, for lack of a better term, a multitude of sins. Let's, it's not understandable. We'll just throw it all in one big lump. Let's go to our next caller. Joan, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is so interesting, just in terms of language. There's a quote that I found in the newspaper a long time ago. It's by Oliver Wendell Holmes. I don't know much about him, except he was on the Supreme Court. I don't know what his politics were. But his quote is, "A word is not a crystal, transparent and unchanging. It is the skin of a living thought and may vary greatly in color and content according to the circumstances and the time in which it is used." And it seems like in this time, what's happening is very Orwellian, right? War is peace, freedom is slavery, all that kind of stuff. And it's like we're not talking the same language at all. And the internet is not really helping with this. I mean, because it's so easy to use a word. It's sort of like cultural appropriation in reverse, by taking something and twisting it around. And you can look at a lot of things that people say and how they're interpreted. And it's a wonder. Ursula K. Le Guin said, there's at least three forms of English. There's the mother language, there's the father language, right, the patriarchal language. And then there's a third language, which is more of this skin of a living thought business, where you start getting into poetry and we start expressing ourselves in ways that are more than just a language. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's the way our tone of voice, our body, what we're doing, where we're coming from, what our ancestors were saying in their languages long ago. Mm-hmm. And all this gets mixed together, and it's a wonder we can understand each other at all. So misunderstanding is flying around, and people are taking advantage of it and using it to hurt each other. And it's very interesting, and I think sometimes it's not all about words, of course, but a word is a symbol, right, or an icon, and then people can raise a flag over it and wave it around and use it to try to make their point, and fool other people. I mean, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
You are making sense. And I have wanted you to expand a little bit, because as you were talking about words and language and tone, and how we communicate, I was looking at Celeste, and you cannot see this, but you know, Celeste was shaking her head in agreement. And
nodding.
Part of communication is all of that, the tone of the language, or facial expressions. Yeah.
Exactly, and you can see this with people who are neurodiverse, where they use language differently.
Mm-hmm.
And how do any of us understand? You know, even the business of stealing someone's language from them, right? Like what has happened with the Native Americans, and then you try to get, you have to get to, you know, what is the language of your soul, of your being, and how can you possibly express that to people who maybe don't want to hear you and don't see you, and how do you get through?
It even goes to a different level, because, for example, in a lot of Black vernacular and lexicon, you will find words and phrases used as code, to protect the inner thoughts and to protect the intellectual freedom and the freedom of thought and be able to share ideas without them being co-opted or getting beat for having that idea. You know, so you're right. It's a very fluid and dynamic process, this communication. It's kind of like walking, running, and standing still on a escalator. Floor strips that move.
And you really do have to be, I'll put woke in quotes, in order to get past it, right?
Yes.
That's another time in the Buddhists talk about that. But then it means that even that one concept, it's a concept, and it can be so, it's a very large concept, so I guess you can use it in all kinds of ways. And if you're really, you know, if you're a good con guy, you can make people believe you, I guess.
Yeah.
But then what's that? What's belief? What does that mean? You know, there's something going on in society right now, which is extremely dynamic. And I don't know how to express that. But I think being aware of it is really important. And people have to watch how they're actually hearing and seeing and relating to what's going on around them. You know,
how they're being woke.
How they're being woke or not woke, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
I could say something to insult someone and I don't even realize that I'm doing it.
Indeed.
You know, or I didn't.
Well, that's part of what I meant when I said we have to look at the energy and ideas and keep it centered in a positive, because the word will change, but it's the energy and the idea and the emotion behind it and the concept you want to convey. We got to figure out how to keep that positive so that creative energy endures.
Ursula K. Le Guin used Sojourner Truth as an example of the third language, not the patriarchal, not the matriarchal, which is about relationship. And the patriarchal, what she called it, was about discourse, you know. But Sojourner, the very word Sojourner Truth, calling herself that, is the third language in itself. It's
all right. Well, thank you so much. The great ideas. I'm going to dig through that Oliver Wendell Holmes quote too. Thank you so much for that. And we got a few minutes.
Wonderful program. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's get Francis.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi, you guys. I was just thinking that woke has always meant to me to be aware of social injustices and to be cognizant of the systematic ways that oppression occurs. And to me, that's never going to be a bad thing.
I'd love that.
And I would like to ask Ron DeSantis what woke means to him and have him say it.
Mm.
Because he's speaking to the haters and the people who don't understand.
Dog whistle.
Exactly. And I would like him to just spell out what woke means to him. and see how he can handle that without sounding like a racist pig. Anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Hey, thank you so much, Francis.
And you know, he would probably be just like the woman who wrote the book, Bethany McDell, who could not define the word woke after she wrote a book on it.
Yeah. Ooh. And I think part of I think it's helpful to say, well, what do you mean by that? Because
exactly.
In order to have some conversation and move on, we have to have a common framework and common understanding. But we're running out of time, and I hope your coffee kicked in. Everyone else, you know, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. You've been listening in to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for more programming.
Absolutely.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Tune in to Higher Reasoning Reggae every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. Higher Reasoning Reggae is dedicated to bringing international reggae word and sound power to the massive airing early Sunday mornings at 3 a.m. only on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is looking for a full-time station manager to oversee administrative, fundraising, and business functions. Nonprofit management experience required. To apply, go to kboo.fm/station manager hire or visit our website. Deadline to apply is Friday, April 7th. KBOO is an equal opportunity employer.